Also, I'm so disappointed that there were not any Alice in Wonderland jokes in this episode.
Yeah, did that feel weird to you? Is the fact that they didn't have any of those?
Like, why didn't you guys do that? I'm so confused.
Like, your whole fucking episode is called fucking Down the Rabbit Hole. And you're like, no, not a single Alice in Wonderland joke.
Like, it would have been so easy. So easy, all right? It's like, not hard, all right? This is a classic piece of literature. Just do it.
It's a fucking seminal piece of media here. Yeah. And, like, you're telling me that that's not, like, come on.
If you think about it, like, I know this is derailing us talking about this show. But if you think about it, we could have, like, a mapping of Alice to Wonderland characters to anybody in this show, you know?
Ooh, okay, okay.
So, we got Alice.
Why is... Ooh, let's see.
Your gut says Elena, because she's the main character, but I don't know.
I kind of actually feel like it's Bonnie.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Bonnie. Bonnie,
because it's like she makes the wonder happen, right? Like,
and also she does like go down that well and then cuts herself immediately. So you know that feels is like true. Something. And then the bunny rabbit, unfortunately, has to be Shane.
I think the white rabbit does have to be Shane.
Unfortunately,
I feel. The Cheshire Cat.
Uh-huh.
Kind of, honestly, it's kind of Klaus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, are you feeling it? Are you seeing where I'm going here with this
one? I'm seeing the vision. Who's the Queen of Hearts? That's her name? Or Red Queen of Hearts?
Yeah, the Queen of Hearts. Who is... I mean, that kind of... Is that Damon? Or is it
a little someone who shows up in this episode near the end?
Oh, you know, a little bit of Catherine. I was actually honestly about to say Elena is the Queen of Hearts and she doesn't even realize it.
Wait. And
honestly? Yeah,
they're a duo, actually.
Oh my God. You don't know which one is which. Which one is the queen at the moment? Oh my God.
Yeah.
We have cracked the fucking code.
This is amazing, okay? We're geniuses, if you really think
we're
about
geniuses,
it.
We're geniuses, actually. Hey, hi, hello, everyone, and welcome to After Bites of Vampire Diaries Fancast. It's only 10 years too late. This is our 58th episode of Afterbite. I just want to say it's fucking wild that we've done 58 of these, not gonna lie.
Yeah, we've been here for a while.
We've been here for a fucking bit, dude. This week, we're watching season 4, episode 14, Down the Rabbit Hole. And boy howdy. Boy fucking howdy.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It has a nice... A lot of plot twists that you're not expecting fully.
This is a really good episode, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, this episode feels so action-packed.
Yeah, it hits a lot of beats.
And then, like, at the end, when you're like, okay, you gotta be close to be ending, and then... You fucking check how much time is left and you're like, no, there's still eight minutes left in this episode. You're like, what the fuck?
I literally said in my notes, where did I put it? I think it was like, how is this the middle of the season? I'm confused.
Yeah. And like this episode just hits and hits and hits and hits.
And it's like, are you guys slowing down anytime soon? The answer is no.
No, they are not. The thing about this episode is that like, when you read the description, it doesn't sound like anything happens in this episode.
Yeah, they are
underselling it.
Underselling it, yeah.
So the episode description on Netflix is, on the island, Damon has an ugly run-in with a hunter. Stefan confesses his true feelings about the possibility of becoming human again with Elena. both of these things happen in the first 5 minutes of the episode, and then we move on.
That's why I was so confused at the description, because I was like, okay, we hit both of those beats. You guys really just don't want to, either you don't want to reveal anything, or again, the Netflix description writer just went through like the first 10 minutes and was like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm sorry. I can't do it anymore. I'll just write this.
Like, I get it, because this episode is bonkers. This episode is bonkers, and trying to describe what happens in this episode without going through it beat by beat is going to make us sound fucking insane.
Uh-huh.
So, let's just start, shall we?
You shall.
No better time than the present to sound like we ourselves are the Mad Hatter. So, Damon is being held captive by a hunter, by the way. The hunter's name is Galen Vaughn, and he's very Scottish.
Very.
And it's weird. I feel like we haven't heard any accent besides the vaguely European accent that the original siblings have. Yeah. I feel like we haven't heard any other accents that are like very specifically Scottish, right?
Yeah.
This dude is very Scottish.
It's like strong, strong accent.
It is. And because every other accent that we've heard so far is like the watered down, like vaguely British, vaguely European one that the original siblings have, it's a little shocking to like hear an actual accent.
Yeah. Is the person who plays him actually Scottish?
I don't fucking know. Let me take a look. Oh, was this guy in fucking... This guy was in Twilight? Hold up. What?
Crossover?
Charlie Bewley? Oh my god, he was in Twilight, that is true. Also, he's not specifically
Scottish,
he was born in London.
Okay.
So, vaguely European, again, vaguely European.
More vaguely,
but they made
European
him specifically
people.
Do a Scottish accent for this.
Okay. He does a good job.
He was, by the way, he was Dimitri in the Twilight series.
I've not watched any of that series. So.
Right, I forgot that you haven't.
Yeah. Here's the thing about anything with vampires. I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. and their belief is that if you watch anything with any satanic elements, you're kind of letting Satan into your home, so you're not allowed to do that.
Elena makes a callback to Mystic Falls to Caroline. And I love, again, they're playing pretty much the exact same. They haven't changed groups at all this episode.
Yeah.
So this episode and the last one actually feel like two parts of the same episode. This feels like two parts of like a season finale, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because all the characters are in the same place that they were the last episode, right? It's still Caroline, Tyler, and Klaus back in Mystic Falls, and then everybody else on this island who are now they have split up in a few groups, but...
And they pace it so well.
They do. So Elena calls back to Mystic Falls to explain everything to Caroline. And she needs to get, or Caroline needs to get the hunter sword so they can decode the map on Jeremy's tattoo to find the cure before Professor Creepy does.
Mm-hmm.
So also they use technology this episode, which I feel like they don't usually do. It's literally like, I emailed you the pictures of Jeremy's tattoo, decode it for us. And they are like, Caroline's like using fucking ancient biblical language Bing or whatever. Like, yeah. I don't know what's going on there.
You know
but
what? It reminds me of.
Remember when Jeremy Googled vampires question mark?
No, not even that. Not even that. I'm talking about when Alaric had to decode those songs.
Oh, yeah!
And he did not use any Google, but he was staring at those images.
So intently. Which we get another one of those montages later this episode.
It's so good. And it's like, in that moment, they could have used Google to help out. No.
Well, I think they did. Otherwise, how did they even get started, right?
Oh, well, yeah, it just was never mentioned.
Yeah, they just never actually mentioned it. They just kind of skipped to the good part, which I liked.
You know, I hate Alaric, or not Alaric, Matt Davis, but like if he was in the scene to call back to that team, that would have been so funny.
Yeah, but we're not rooting for Matt Davis to get paid anymore because he's a fucking monster.
He sucks so bad.
So, Professor Creepy's witch friend gets paid off with the tombstone.
It was really weird.
And Professor Creepy's like, well, yeah, the tombstone, the center of the tombstone is Ketsia's, like, calcified blood. So in some witch circles, that's worth more than anything else. It's, which,
the way they do this is so weird, too, because I didn't remember what the tombstone looked like.
Oh, yeah, remember? Hey, remember how Professor Creepy stole it from Rebecca and Stefan?
Yeah. So, like,
in case you forgot.
So, like,
a lot of double crosses last time.
He, like, takes out this rock, and I'm like, why is he paying him with this rock? And then he's like, the tombstone. I'm like, oh! I was like, why is this witch being paid off with the rock? I'm so confused. It was honestly, it was, like, that should be an out-of-context scene, you know?
Yeah, just like, here, take this rock. I want my payment. Well, now you fucking got it, dude.
But also, I love how the witch was just like, I did what you did. I'm not here for this Silas BS.
Yeah, he's literally just like, can I fucking go? Can I just go, please?
Like, shortest.
The answer is yes.
One of the shortest character appearances I've ever seen. It was just like immediately leaves after being introduced at the end of the last episode. But also, yeah. Like, why is he not concerned about what this guy is doing? Like, I'm pretty sure it's well known in witch circles who Silas is.
The thing that I think they're trying to set up here is, especially with the way that Professor Creepy mentions that the center of the tombstone is Ketsia's calcified blood, I think what they're trying to get you to think that he's doing is that he's running off to do something with Ketsia instead of Silas, to try and, like, raise her as well, I guess. I don't know entirely what they're trying to make you think they're going for here, but they're certainly doing something. But they're kind of playing it off like, all of humanity is just the children of this one messy divorce between Silas and Ketsia, and you have two Christmases, but you're still, like, a little weird about it because, like, your parents don't like each other, but they will drop you off at your dad's house for a weekend, and then they'll be there precisely on time to pick you up. Like, it's weird.
It's a specific experience.
Can you tell that's a very specific experience? So, fucking Caroline channels her inner, like, Laura Croft this episode, because she's like, the sword is a cryptex. What? I watched Da Vinci's Code. I know what's going on here.
She just knows all of the necessary information, like,
which I love.
It's made up how, like, they need to use an ancient dead language. And I'm just like, Caroline, are you secretly?
They mentioned the word, like, Aramaic, and Caroline's like, oh, the dead biblical language? I got you. Like, what?
Like, is she off studying ancient languages and we just haven't seen that? Like, you know what it feels like, too? It reminds me of Lizzie from Legacies. Because,
where, like, they're just like, here, she knows this one really weird specific thing that we need her to reference this. Don't think about it.
Or even when she's like, talking to Landon about all the, like, nerdy stuff, and it's like, if you know this much about nerdy stuff, girl,
if you know this much about Lord of the Rings, I don't think you can make fun of anybody else for knowing less about Lord of the Rings than you do, yeah. Lizzie. It's so fun, though, because it's like, they made these characters are all fucking dumbasses, unless it comes to, like, ancient dead biblical languages, and then they're good to go.
Yeah.
So, apparently, Klaus still knows Aramaic, which is that weird dead language. And he's like, well, you're going to need my help unless you want to, like, buy a dictionary from your nearest retailer, talks about like the wonders of the internet, and he's like, but go buy a dictionary. Like, no, dude, we can just, it's called dictionary.com, dude. Dude, it's okay. Hey, Klaus, we get it, dude. Elena and Stefan have a little moment where they like discuss why Stefan never told her that like he wanted to be human for him. He wanted this for himself, not just for Elena.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta say, I am like kind of sad about it, because like, I don't know. I think out of all the characters in this series, they're definitely setting up Stefan to be the one who deserves a happy ending the most.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's not, he's done bad things and he's, like, tortured, but he's not, like, as outwardly obnoxious about it as Damon is or as Klaus is. And I just think it's really tragic that he, like, he's set up so clearly to get his happy ending, and you know that he won't.
Yeah.
Because nobody will. And I'm just like, God damn it, dude.
It's like, I mean, I guess The Vampire Diaries in a lot of ways is like a tragedy, you know? And I feel like with Stefan especially, he feels like the most human, I think, in most situations with like any of the vampires.
Yeah.
So it really does feel like he deserves this cure. You know, I think maybe Rebecca is kind of like a close second.
And they set them up both so well by just being like, I just want to be human.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Ugh. I'm sad about this, honestly. Like, I'm sad. I just think they're... I think showing that the vampires have humanity in them after all, even though they've done terrible things and even though they're bad people and they, like, don't have a cure to become human again, showing that the vampires are still human even without the cure is so fucking... It's such a choice, this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Such a fucking choice.
And, like, I really love this cure storyline because... It does. It's very revealing about every character. You know? Like, Damon, he doesn't want the cure because he's Damon. He likes power. He likes being a vampire. He likes taking people's lives for some reason. And then I was also thinking about Caroline later this episode where she's like, she also doesn't want to take the cure, you know? And I think with Caroline, it's a little bit different because I think it's really revealing the growth she's had due to becoming a vampire.
Yeah.
So, like, this... And then, like, with people who don't want to take it, it really does show, like, a more human side to them. I think one of the worst character it kind of does justice for is Elena, because like with Damon and Caroline, you get more like revelation into like who they are as people,
mm-hmm.
And why they don't want to take the cure. With Stefan and Rebecca, you kind of get like more like a human understanding to them, so that's why they want to take the cure. But with Elena, I don't know. It doesn't really feel like she wants to take the cure or she doesn't want to take the cure. She's very neutral. It doesn't really reveal anything about her at all.
Yeah, and I think that comes from, well, number one, we've had three seasons before this season to like focus on her.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's maybe not too much new that we could learn about Elena through the lens of the cure. But I think it also does kind of set up, what's the word I'm looking for here? It does set up the fact that I think Elena's character grows weaker from here on out.
Because
she is very neutral.
She's a very middle character. And
yeah,
that makes her uninteresting to watch.
And you'll see that she's neutral for a while now. And this is like the first moment where you're like, oh, okay, so it's Elena, right? Everybody loves Elena, whoa. And then nobody does anything about it. And you're like, Okay, I guess. Whatever.
It's such a shame what they did to her character. Because, you know, from the beginning, she's been this very much a damsel in distress character.
Mm-hmm.
And now that,
but then she also has those moments where she makes such cool moves. She makes deals with Elijah. She like sets up plans. And then this, she's just like neither. She's just neutral.
I think by making her vampire, they kind of set themselves up in a way, because like now she no longer has a reason to like be saved. You know, Which is like sucky in and of itself. That's the like a huge point of her character, and that was a decision made.
Yeah.
But then it also means that, I don't know, they stopped giving her the reins as much. Yeah, they kind of just did her character dirty, like really dirty.
It's, yeah, I don't love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, and like, I think even with Damon, like, you hate him, but you know, like, there's a reason I hate him. He's like a dick.
Yeah, but like, you get it, right? Yeah. You understand his position and where he's coming from. With Elena, it's just like, I don't know why you are this way, Elena. Yeah.
Like, you just exist in this world now because you've been put in it. Like, and also, I feel like in the beginning, it was very much of like, we were coming from the understanding of Elena's kind of the quote unquote audience character. Like, she is.
Yeah, she's the audience insert, yeah.
Yeah. But, like, now she's a vampire. So, like,
she becomes less relatable to us.
Yeah.
I even think, like, Caroline is even a more relatable vampire than.
Yeah.
Than Elena is. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. It's, there's a lot here to unpack, and we're going to get into a little more because Galen, the hunter, whose name is Galen. I shouldn't feel bad because I know it's just like a name, and also like I too have a shitty last name, so like I get it, Galen Vaughn, but also you cannot have a name like Galen and be intimidating, you know? Like, if you have a fucking name like Galen, like, no, shut up. You can't. So, there's a real nice, like, cut, there's a real nice, like, back and forth scene where Galen is telling Damon his true reasons for being here, and Caroline and Tyler are trying to decode the sword. So it's a really nice, like, flip here as, Galen is kind of telling Damon his side of the story, and then the other part of the Mystic Falls gang is actually decoding it from the sword.
Yeah.
And eventually you learn that there is only one cure.
There's like one dose of it.
There is one dose of the cure. And it is meant to kill Silas.
Just like, oh shit.
The hunters, basically their job is to use the cure, pour it in Silas's mouth, and then snap his fucking neck, apparently.
It's just like, yikes, you know? And like, what happens later on in the episode, which we'll get to what happens at the end, it really feels like there's a reason why there's five of the hunters and not one of them.
They really, yeah. I also love they gave us like 2 seconds of Galen backstory. He's just like, I've been killing vampires my whole life, and I've never been able to complete the tattoo until 2 days ago when it just showed up out of nowhere. I guess you're not that good at killing vampires then, dude. To be fair, Jeremy did just like cheat code his way into killing thousands of vampires.
That is true.
But I guess you weren't that good at it if you didn't fucking complete it after killing vampires for your whole life.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Jeremy literally, like, just got his mark. But you've been working on this for how long? Like,
yeah, you've been working on this for that long and that's all you have to show for it? Anyway. So Professor Creepy, Jeremy, and Bonnie are down in the caves. Bonnie kind of like slides and like slices her hand on a rock, and Jeremy and Bonnie have another moment. And I love them. I have to say, I think they're one of my favorite ships from this show.
Me too.
Just because like they're sweet, they're funny, they're sarcastic.
They have a little,
there's not an egregious age difference.
They have a lot of looks.
They have so much yearning. I'm just saying, they have so much yearning.
It's so much, and by the end of this episode, I feel betrayed, you know?
Yeah. So blood drips down from where Bonnie cut her hand on a rock, under the rock, and down into Silas's mouth. So, gross? Gross.
Didn't you see that? But now it makes more sense as to why Professor Shane was able to see his wife and why that's a myth.
Yeah.
The well.
Mm-hmm. And it also makes sense for the story that he told about the miners who had drained themselves of blood to see their loved ones, because Silas could do that.
Yeah.
He's a fucking very powerful immortal witch.
Yeah.
Insane.
Wait, immortal vampire. Or witch.
Let me fucking check. I think he's a witch.
Is he like a witch vampire hybrid? Because then why would he need blood to wake up?
He is just a witch, but he is immortal. I think the thing is, the immortality is what requires the blood, and that's why vampires require blood, but werewolves don't. Yeah, so it's the immortality.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
It's the immortality that requires the blood, not the anything else.
That makes sense.
God, when we meet Silas, you're gonna lose your shit, dude. I'm excited. Caroline and Tyler call Rebecca to tell her that they found it and that they're emailing her the map and everything. And Klaus spills to Rebecca over the phone that there's only one dose of the cure. He like yells, he's like, there's one dose of the cure, so you better fucking take it. And I think that's so fucking brotherly.
Yeah.
It's such a sibling thing.
Yeah.
That he like, he hates her right now. But
also, I want
he still
to
wants
win.
To make sure that she gets that cure that she wants.
It's like when you, I mean, again, we don't have siblings. So
we don't have siblings, but.
But it's like when you're watching, like, I mean, I'm just assuming from media I've consumed and from accounts from friends. But it's like if you're like little brother or sister, you kind of like pick on them a lot. But then someone in school bullies them. And you're like, I get to bully them, not you.
Not you. Exactly. Damon and Galen realize that there's somebody else on the island because they find the Professor Creepy's witch dead.
Mm-hmm. And also we don't figure out... Oh, wait, no, we do figure out who that is. Oh, okay, it's clicking now.
It's clicking, exactly. So, Damon's like, well, then why, Galen, did you save Jeremy and Elena? And Galen's like, I didn't fucking do that. And then they walk a little bit further and they like find the dead body of the witch. And they're like, so did you do that? I didn't do that. Did you do that? And it's like almost like a buddy cop moment where they're like, did you? No, did I? No, I didn't. Did you? Like, so there's somebody else on the island. We don't know who, but somebody else is there.
Yeah. Damon also says the phrase, unpleasant locals, and that kind of annoyed me a lot, so I wrote it down.
Damon is an unpleasant local every single place he's ever been
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Professor Creepy finds the place that they need to cast the spell, so Bonnie and Jeremy start to do that. Rebecca tells Stefan that there's only one dose of the cure.
Yeah, that's when they are on that like hill, and then Elena jumps off.
And they do like cool vampire jumps, and I wish we saw this kind of shit more, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of sick.
Show me vampires doing cool vampire shit, please.
Yeah. And then, Rebecca tells him, and then she's like, Well, this happens like 5 seconds later, but we might as well say it now. She like says, "Okay, so like if I were to pity you and give you the dose of the cure, would you give it to Elena?" And like Stefan doesn't say anything, so that's a yes. And then she like snaps his neck and then goes down.
Yeah. And honestly, so on brand.
Yeah.
She's like, "Listen, I know you, and I don't want to hurt you, but also, stop. Shut up." Anyway, and then she just snaps his fucking neck. So, Bonnie and Jeremy perform this spell, which basically just consists of Jeremy being, like, shirtless and Bonnie putting her hand on him.
Uh-huh.
And then everything around them starts to, like, crumble.
Yeah.
And they have just, like, the most intense eye contact. I'm like, are you two good? Like, do you need me to leave? I know you guys are, like, having a moment. I'll go to the kitchen for a bit if you need. Like, but the walls of the cave start to come down, and Professor Creepy breaks his fucking leg.
It's very like, yes, something bad happened to him, you know?
Yeah, it's like, finally, thank God. And they're like, Shane's like, "I mean, help me and I'll show you where the cure is." And she's like, "Actually, no, I'm good. You can stay here."
He deserves it so badly.
He deserves it. Stefan and Elena, as they're going for the cure, have a moment of realization where they're like, after what we've done to Klaus, if we don't cure him and kill him, he will kill us all.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, I guess he has to be the only person in history to get cured of being a vampire because he will murder us all. Thanks. Having a great time. Like... You can see how I like, though, here is that, like, you see them acknowledging that they've done bad things to Klaus.
Yeah.
Like, yes, Klaus murdered Jenna, but they also murdered Finn and
it's kind of like a murder back and forth.
You know? Yeah, it's an eye for an eye here. It's going to leave the whole world blind, but they're finally realizing that they may also kind of be the bad guys of his story.
Yeah.
Which I like because it sets up a lot of... Do you remember the opening monologue that Hope has for Legacies where she's like, just if you're a hero or a villain, it depends on who's telling the story?
Yeah.
This feels like the first kind of time that they're really like acknowledging this episode and last episode feels like the first time that they're acknowledging like, oh, we might be the bad guys here.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think, yeah, they also kind of addressed it last episode with Rebecca talking about like how... she like her killing Elena is something that Stefan would have done in order to like save some of the people he cares about, and it's like so true. A lot of the time in the Vampire Diaries, there's a lot of time spent on justifying why you have to do a bad thing, but in the end, you're still doing a bad thing. You know, like no yeah. matter how much you justify it, it's still not good.
Yeah, It's nice actually to have somebody be like, you guys are fucked up. What you did was a bad thing. I feel like somebody's finally telling them that like, hey, this is not good. What you've done here, this is not good.
Yeah.
And I really do. I like that because I feel like somebody needed to fucking say it. And it also sets up the fact that in the originals, which we're heading into that very, very soon yeah. now. In the originals, they kind of have to grapple with the fact that, like, we've done bad things and we are the bad guys, but that doesn't mean that everything we do is awful and terrible. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that we don't deserve, like, a moment of peace, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it sets up that moral ambiguity that the originals kind of thrives in.
Yeah.
And I like that they're setting it up here because they kind of ignore it later, but they set it up at least. Like, it's here if they ever want to go back to it. I don't think they do, but it's here in case, guys, don't worry about it.
It's so frustrating that they never really get to it in TBD if they don't, because like I don't know. There is a lot of gray area-ness with the entire Vampire Diaries universe. Like,
they kind of get into it with, like, certain characters. I don't think they ever get into it, like, having the whole group having to grapple with the fact that they are the bad guys.
Yeah, because,
I don't think so. And that's just from my memory. I haven't watched the back half of TVD in a while.
Yeah.
We're getting into the part where, like, my memory is pretty spotty. I don't know what happens in season, like, 5 or 7 or 8.
Yeah.
I remember 6, okay. But, like, 5, 7, 8, I don't really remember, so.
I think, when you're watching or consuming any sort of media that involves, like, supernatural beings or monsters, there isn't usually a sort of, like, gray area. But I do think, like, in, like, pieces of media like Frankenstein, it does try to, like, give some sort of human element to the monster.
Mm-hmm.
So that it creates more of a gray area. And I really do like when, I think it's just, like, interesting when there's not really a true right or wrong, because that is a lot of life. There isn't, like, a true right or wrong thing you can do. It's usually just, like, what you decide in the moment, what you think is right and what you think is wrong. So it's really interesting that they choose to tackle that.
It's nice. They don't ever, I don't know if they don't, in the Vampire Diaries specifically, they don't ever commit to it enough to make it like a thematic element of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But they do have moments like this, which, yeah, I really, really enjoy. Bonnie sees her grams. And hey, do you remember how sweet they were together?
Yeah.
Because I got genuinely sad seeing them together again. Like,
especially since their last moment, it wasn't that great, right?
It was not. But this one, God, do you remember that, like, this show is fucking, God, cruel?
Yeah.
Do you remember this show's fucking cruel?
Like, the first cruel death, I think, was Gramps.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah, that was the first one that really stuck with me.
That made me cry, man. Ugh, the way that, I will say, the way that the entire Vampire Diaries universe has the ability to make people cry, like, they know how to do that well.
It's a miracle.
Like, it's one of the high points of the show. When they can make you cry really well.
It's the fact that it can
make
you feel things, yeah. So, Jeremy and Bonnie are trying to get Silas and get to the cure, like, without being, like, manipulated and torn away by his, like, his visions and such.
Yeah, because even though, right, Grams is there, she is just, like, a hallucination that Silas is using to try to get Bonnie to wake him up.
So they're trying to do this without waking up the big bad guy.
Yeah, and this is where Jeremy and Bonnie also share another moment. This is why I think I low-key a little bit hate this episode, because they just keep setting up moments between the two of them. And I'm like, at the end, I'm like, how fucking dare you? It's like, you're so cruel.
Why do you keep giving them moments? I'm so sad about it. I'm so fucking sad about it, honestly.
I've never been more sad, more hurt. Just ripped.
It's just
my
the
heart
fact
out.
That they.
It's like when you're watching a show and there's a slow burn and they're so close and then they're like, actually, no, it's not happening.
They have so many moments. It would be cruel not to, right?
It would be so cruel not to.
Back in Mystic Falls, Klaus extends Caroline a courtesy of giving Tyler a head start. Klaus's speech here sounds a lot like the stuff that we're going to be getting in the originals.
Mm.
I'm just going to say that. That's sort of like, I will give you this courtesy of giving him a head start, and he best go where I can't fucking find him. It's so good and, like, theatrical, like, unnecessary. Like, just unnecessary. And yet
You expect it from Klaus because he is a drama queen.
All of the originals are, I'm telling you. They saw fucking Shakespeare live. Of course they're drama queens. You can't sit through King Lear live and be like, I'm not going to be a dramatic bitch after all that. Like, come on. So, he basically, Caroline and Tyler are going to have to be breaking up because Tyler needs to run away.
It was so sad.
Fucking wild because after Klaus is like, I'll give Tyler a head start, and then we cut back to the island where Elena is pounced on by like a mysterious figure that she's just like, oh, you. And then it cuts back to Caroline and Tyler saying goodbye. You're like, is this the end of the episode?
Yeah.
But no, there's like 6 minutes left after this.
And like when Caroline and Tyler said goodbye, I'm not going to lie to you. I cried a little bit.
It's a really fucking heartfelt goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm very sad. I'm very sad about it. I knew this was happening, but I am so sad.
It hurt my soul a little bit.
It's just
one of the last good ships, honestly.
Yeah. They send one good ship off sailing into the night while the good ship Johnny is coming back into port. Maybe balance exists after all.
I love how you're literally playing with my emotions right now.
Sorry. They like say it like a heartfelt goodbye, like this isn't goodbye, this is until we can make it work. And God damn, they're so fucking tragic. Really, like, you had kind of stopped thinking of them as Romeo and Juliet for a little bit there, but, like, now that's back in full force.
They just are. That's what they are.
At their core.
Yep.
Like, ugh. God! Stefan goes down into the caves and confronts Professor Creepy. And Professor Creepy's like, hey, you can save me. And Stefan's like, no, fuck you.
This is the line he says. It's so good. Whoever wrote this, you are a genius. He says,
Jose Molina.
He says, you know what it's like to feel hope, and now you know what it feels like to lose it. So good. So good. I love the little, what's it called? Alliteration.
It's just so...
It's like perfect. I love that. Thank you. And it feels so right for Professor Creepy as well, you know?
Yeah, because his whole thing was having hope that his family would come back. And now...
At like the cost of everyone else around him too. Like, and then at the end of this, like, his wife comes back and, like...
His hot wife returns! He doesn't deserve a hot wife.
He doesn't.
Even if she's dead. Like, he doesn't deserve a hot wife.
He does not. And she's like, he's like, I'm sorry, I failed you. And then she's like, don't worry, you did everything you were supposed to.
And then you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy and Bonnie are trying to get the cure from Silas. However, it's stuck to him because he's been desiccated for 2,000 years. And that is not going to move easy. So they realize that they have to wake him up by feeding him their blood. And...
Then shit hits the fan.
Then a lot of things happen in a very poorly lit room.
Yeah.
Because guess who comes in, if not everybody's favorite fuckboy, Galen Vaughn. And he stabs Bonnie.
Yeah.
Just fucking
From behind, just like quick stab. Oh, I didn't mention it earlier, but when Rebecca comes down and like Damon and Rebecca and him are about to like fight, he like uses this like little bomb thingy. He like throws it on Rebecca.
He has some ingenious little like devices. Honestly,
it's like a little bomb, and it blows up and it makes splinters into your body, and it's like so freaking cool. And I just need to mention that.
Yeah, Galen Vaughn has some fun little tricks, like the other hunter that we saw.
Yeah.
Whatever his name was.
But he, like, just stabs Bonnie. And you're like, what the fuck?
You're like, I thought you needed Bonnie to open the tomb, and then I remembered, oh, right, the tomb's already open. Okay, sure, just murder a teenage girl, I guess. I hope you feel good about that one, bud.
Like, what? Unnecessary, okay? By the way.
Jeremy and Galen kind of like tussle for a little bit before Elena comes in and like tosses Galen to the side and conks him the fuck out.
Yay!
So she saves the day. I love that for them. Yay. Back in Mystic Falls, Klaus leaves the living room and he walks out the front door, and Caroline's like, what the fuck? It's not the full moon yet. You shouldn't be able to do that. And he's like, I'm afraid something bad probably happened to your friend Bonnie because the spell dropped. And he tells Caroline that he learned pity and mercy for her.
Just like, worst line.
I don't think he learned pity for her. I think he learned mercy for her, sure. I think he already had pity fucking down. I think he had that one down pat already.
I don't know if it was exactly pity that he said something about pity, and like he said another phrase in there, but basically the gist of the conversation was, I learned so much for you to be, I guess, more human. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's like, okay, do you want a reward or something?
Do you want like a cookie or?
I don't know what to tell you because I don't give a damn. I hate the trope of, and we already see this with Damon, but oh my gosh, I've changed so much for you.
I've changed so much for you. Don't you love me?
Like,
except I only do the nice things to you, and everybody else can fucking suck it, I guess. I like Klaus, though. I like because it doesn't feel like a monumental change in growth because she hasn't given him anything.
Yeah.
He's just doing this on his own to try and prove himself to her, but maybe he's doing it also for him, kind of, because she hasn't, like, acknowledged his existence for a while up until last episode.
Yeah.
So, I don't mind this one as much as I do...
I definitely hate Damon's more because it's very clear that he is literally just doing it for Elena. Like,
yeah.
It's like, there's... Like, I think with Klaus, there's a little more something on the inside. He just needs, like, a little push from somebody.
Yeah, he just needs to, like, find something to work towards.
So, like, I don't hate it as much, but I still hate the trope of the man, like, getting changed because of a woman. Like,
and also the fact that he's, like, 1,000 years old and she's 17. But okay, sure, whatever.
It's just weird.
It's just weird. I don't think I'm ever gonna see...
I'm never going to see Caroline, all right? I'm never going
to... I'm not going to see it. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to see it, dude.
I'm over it, and I'm ready for it to go.
I don't get it, dude.
It's just a weird... There's always a weird power dynamic between the two of them that makes me feel uncomfortable. Like, they can't actually date because the power dynamic is too uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's just... I don't love it. I'm probably never going to love it. But, like, I understand where it comes from as, like, a character point. But, like, goddamn, I hate it. Last.
I hate the show.
You wanna go through it so I can.
We're in the tomb. We're in the tomb. And, no. And then we see Elena. Like, all bloody, and Stefan comes up to her, and he's like, what's wrong? And then she's like, Catherine. And then you realize, oh, that's Catherine who saved Jeremy. So then Catherine's there and she's like, all right, let's go get this Kirsch, why don't we? And then Jeremy's like, oh, but we have to say Bonnie first. And then Catherine's like, okay, I've had enough of this. And then Jeremy's like, wait, what? And she's like, yeah, no, we're gonna do this now. And then like Jeremy realizes Catherine. So then I think she cuts him first or whatever.
And like, yeah, she like slices his wrist open and then shoves it over Silas's mouth.
And then she bites his neck, puts his neck in Silas's mouth, and then Silas eventually grabs hold onto him. She takes a cure and leaves, and then Silas takes his head and then snaps it, and he falls and he's dead. And then Bonnie's looking over at his dead body, and then end screen.
And, like, holy shit, what? Right? Holy shit, dude.
What?
The fact that it ends with Bonnie and Jeremy both dying and looking at each other, and the fact that Silas is awake now, and the fact that Catherine has the cure, and...
I'm not okay. Still processing.
I'm never gonna be okay.
My
I'm not
boy,
okay.
My baby this is, boy.
My baby boy. My very good son. He's gone.
Dead.
My son has been murdered. Everybody please look on in despair with me as I look at my son's dead body. Because my son has been murdered today.
I thought we had more time.
My son.
I like my son. Already miss him. Okay. You know, all the times that I've been mad at Jeremy for doing something stupid, you know, I was like, it's okay. I forgive you. And like,
It hurts
so much more because of them just teasing Bonnie and Jeremy the entire way. Remember when we were let's reminisce over some good moments. Remember when Bonnie and Jeremy first started going out and we were just like, should we call them Johnny or Bear-me?
The correct answer is still Johnny. I still think Johnny's the superior ship name. I'm sorry.
Just like, good times, huh?
And the way that they were like setting it up, like you would just trade like Caroline and Tyler for Jeremy and Bonnie. You're like, oh.
I hate it here so much.
I hate it here.
Why?
This sucks.
Literally, when this happened, I just screamed, what the fuck?
It's a lot. It's fucking a lot, dude.
And, like,
and then, because we cut to black, so, like, do we just move on with our lives now?
But,
how do I move on without my son, without my very good boy?
But also, like his death was so sudden. Like, usually...
Yeah, and you were like, this did not seem like an episode anybody would die in. It's certainly not like this.
And, like, the thing is, like, with every other character death, it's like when a character is dying, you know they're dying. And it's a slow burn, baby. This one, they were just like, surprise, someone's dead. And then I don't even have, like, the correct emotions to cry about it. I'm just shocked.
Jordan.
Yeah.
What do you rank this episode?
I don't know.
I tell you what my ranking is?
Yeah.
Mine's gonna be a 10 out of 10. This is a fucking banger of an episode, even though I am deeply upset.
Yeah, I was gonna give it. There's no reason to give it less than a 10. I'm just really upset.
I'm really sad about Jeremy too, but like, holy shit, what an episode, huh? Who's the MVP this episode?
I feel like we have to give it to Jeremy in honor of him dying.
Oh, like a pity MVP?
He's only ever gotten pity MVPs. He has.
I mean,
it's the truth. It's the truth.
Okay, I'm with you there. I'm with you, giving it to our boy Jer. That brings his total for this season up to 2.
Yep,
he has 2 MVPs now. And
that was the last time we probably will see him. So,
R.I.P. Jeremy Gilbert.
You'll be forever missed, especially by this podcast, because we've had fun with you twice for 2 different ships. Okay, remember Jyler?
Oh God, remember Jyler? Now I'm sad. Tyler doesn't even know that his boyfriend's dead.
No, and Tyler literally just left the show.
Yeah.
Thinking about the good old times again. Remember Jeremy seeing ghosts and us having a fun Ghost World episode?
God, remember Jeremy and Anna?
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna cry.
Oh my God.
I hate it here so much. He was the last, like, human lovable character on the show.
Yeah. R.I.P. Jeremy Gilbert.
We love you, man.
You were so fucking great.
What a, such a tragic end for such a good boy.
Good character. And unfortunately, that's where we end this week. Join us next week. We'll be watching episode 415, Stand By Me. And, hey, Brian will be back for that one, though.
Oh.
That's good.
That's good.
Now we'll have somebody else to cry with.
Yep.
Until then, y'all... if you are so inclined, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/afterbite. And if you don't want to support us on Patreon, just follow us on Twitter so you know when the fucking episodes come out. Because I tweet. Jordan tweets too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I respond to tweets on the Afterbite account and I'm really worried people think that I'm talking to myself, but I'm actually not. Jordan, it's always Jordan's tweets that I respond to. Yeah. Please know this. I'm not talking to myself on the Afterbite Twitter account. You have to understand me, please.
Also, like, follow us on Twitter because I'm now trying to post more like polls there.
We've been on a poll streak recently and it's very fun.
Yeah,
I kind of hate it, but I love it.
The last one I posted was, which of us did you relate to the most? And I got the least, even though I run half of this podcast and Brian is barely here. So what the fuck, guys?
I think people relate to Brian skipping out on bad episodes of TVD so hard. I think people relate to that. They're like, oh yeah, I would also skip this episode if I could.
But Brian loves all of this. I'm the one who's criticizing.
Until next week, y'all, please, for the love of God, stay inside, stay safe, and wash your fucking hands. I don't care if it's with your tears as you're crying over Jeremy Gilbert. Wash those fucking hands, bitch. Wash them.
I don't have the power to radicalize you today, but maybe sometimes.